Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State. Brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. And today, later, our guest is going to be Glenn Morgan, so looking forward to having him on the program. But our hope is not in man, our hope is in Jesus Christ, and we can't end in prayer, we must also move to action. This is also about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61, 1-4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will build the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. Today in our world, if you have a disheartened spirit, that's not from the Lord. You shouldn't have it. And so I hope everybody is taking this into account as we talk about some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. We shouldn't have a disheartened spirit, but we should see where we're supposed to go and what needs to be done. What actually needs to be done, and that we don't fall victim of the people who try to say, oh, wait, just wait long enough and the plan is going to be there. You don't have to do anything. And when, in fact, we're called upon to be Americans. As Patrick Henry said in 1775, are we disposed to be of the number of those who have eyes see not and having ears hear not the things which so nearly concern their temporal salvation? For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it might cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it. And Patrick Henry's words ring truer today. I have switched over to Gab AI, and Gab.com, if you go there, Gab is a great alternative, true alternative to Facebook and Twitter. I'm also on MeWe. I'm also on WeSpeak. And if Parler ever comes back up, I'm on there too. But I really like Gab, and I like Andrew Torba, the CEO's approach to things. He has a kingdom mindset. So if you are still on Facebook, switch over, get some of these other accounts, but particularly Gab, and particularly WeSpeak. Look me up on both of those. It's just at Matt Shea. Very simple. We're going to also start posting some of our sermons from Covenant Church there as well, because we were censored here recently. It looks like over just a sermon. So we are going to post there as well, just in case. So join us on these. Follow us. Follow me. And I will make sure to set up a covenant page as well on Gab. All right. Now from the Frontier Daily Intelligence Briefing. And I want to start in the Middle East again. And then there is some crazy news coming from the southern border I got to get to here later. It's just incredible what is happening in this country. And how fast. It's just how fast. So we're going to start with China. This coming to us from AmericanMilitaryNews.com. A former U.S. intelligence official warned this week that the world's largest biotechnology firm, guess where that's located at? Anybody want to guess? Largest biotech firm, a Chinese company called BGI Group, is trying to collect Americans' DNA for China and could use the DNA to monopolize critical medical supplies. What did BGI Group do? It offered to build the COVID-19 testing labs shortly after the Chinese virus outbreak reached the United States. And now they're saying that they're using the COVID test kits to collect DNA? That's interesting. Here's the issue. They want to create a profile on every single human being. A DNA profile, a psychological profile. They want to continue to put this into their database so that they can then activate something called activity-based intelligence. In other words, they have collected all your activities, they've collected everything, and they activate it by then introducing stimulus to get you to behave a certain way because they have such a solid profile. And this isn't just as innocent as, marketing or something like this, okay? The Chinese have literally weaponized medicine. And they've admitted this. They want to weaponize medicine. Unrestricted Warfare, written by two Chinese colonels, talks about it. Talks about virtually every area of society being weaponized. But interestingly enough, the Chinese want to experiment with DNA specific diseases. Now, some people say that's not possible, but they want to go there. In other words, if you fit a certain genetic profile, the disease will only affect you. Hollywood's talked about this for a few years, but the fact of the matter is this technology is real. They want to try to do this. This is one of the ways they can weaponize DNA databases. Or take a vaccine, or what actually it is a gene therapy that alters your genetic makeup. Interesting. China does not love America and has viewed America as an adversary for a very long time. And if you don't get that, start reading. Also, want to go to the southern border. 11 Iranian migrants. Migrants from Iran across the southern border. Okay. 11 Iranian agents, 11 Iranian infiltrators arrested for illegally crossing the border into Arizona. It's coming to us from Breitbart. Agents identified the group of special interest aliens as 6 males and 5 females. Fascinating. They illegally crossed into the United States Monday evening. Okay, I'm going to share a story from Iraq. The Iranians actually started infiltrating Iraq in early 2004. And when they started doing that, they brought with them the knowledge of how to make improvised explosive devices. And so these guys trained Iraqis. And this idea that General Soleimani is somehow not a bad guy, it's just ridiculous. It's because people don't know what he actually did. This guy was the guy behind infiltrating what they call the Al-Quds Brigade or Al-Quds Brigade into places around the world. And so now you have these guys coming across the southern border that raises a ton of red flags because how many of them weren't caught? So I posted this up on the social media pages, and I hope that you get a chance to check it out, because this is just, it's alarming. And immediately after Biden becomes president, pretender, his fraudulency, Trader Joe, immediately after the installation, this starts happening. Whew. These These Marxists have ruined everything, by the way. They ruined the southern border. They ruined sports. They're ruining everything. Because that's what Marxists do. They ruin stuff. They break stuff because they can't create anything, so they break everybody else's stuff or steal it. Try to steal it because that's not going to happen in America. All right. Also on the national front. And this is fascinating. A left-wing columnist is coming to us again from Breitbart, says put the Republican Party on a domestic terror watch list. In other words, based on your political beliefs, you will now be considered a terrorist, right? Which is fascinating because the people who actually espouse violence as part of their political beliefs are the people these guys are letting walk. Remember last Tuesday, I talked about this news blackout on Antifa armed with hatchets occupying the Olympia Red Lion Hotel. And now look at what these guys are doing, advocating the Republicans. So really, they're the ones that belong on a terror list because they're the ones that believe in communism, which believes in destruction of humanity. Unreal. All right. Also on the national front, this coming to us from the New American, a new bill in Congress essentially nullifies the Second Amendment. House Resolution 127 would end your Second Amendment rights permanently. Now I'm going to stop there. We get our rights from God. We don't get them from man. We don't get them from the Constitution. They're not constitutional rights. They're constitutionally protected rights, to be accurate. Constitutionally protected rights. We don't get our rights from a piece of paper. We do not get our rights from government. We get our rights from God. And so our rights can't end permanently unless we acquiesce to it or we die. So with this, keep this in mind that Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, socialist, wants to do something staggering. First, this bill would establish a federal firearms registration system that would be accessible by federal, state, and local governments, including the military, and the general public. Huh. Could they use that? Wait a minute. They've already done that. They actually had last year. We put that out there, and I specifically called attention to this, that in New York, they were trying to list the addresses of people who were concealed carry permit holders. Unreal. Also, this is interesting. It would make this bill retroactive. Within 3 months, you would have to report to the government where you bought all of your guns, when they were purchased, and where they are currently being stored. Firearm owners would also have to report the identity of any person to whom in any period of which time during the firearm will be loaned to the individual. This is all the stuff that came out of Washington State, by the way. All the stuff we've been fighting against for 10 years, they're now doing it at the federal level. And as a side note, the person, I'm not going to even name the name, the person here in Washington State in charge of stewarding our monies that lost it to a Nigerian scam is now being promoted to the national level in the Biden administration. The pretender is bringing the worst to Washington, D.C. Then there's a licensing requirement that would mandate that the license applicant undergoes a criminal background check and then submits to psychological evaluation to determine whether the person is suited to possess a firearm. Huh. So if they're starting to call people crazy for being Christian and patriot, so now they're going to... So look, folks, this is the line in the sand. They do this kind of stuff. They try to come for our guns. This is the line in the sand. Everybody knows it. It's the line in the sand. You can't arbitrarily say who is psychologically fit and unfit based on a leftist standard. You can't do that. They're trying to demonize people. They did this in virtually every communist regime. Law-abiding Americans that own a firearm, who have not been diagnosed legitimately by a doctor according to standards that existed 20 years ago, not recent. What they're trying to do is tyranny, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. And this is the interesting quote at the end of the article. If you can nullify constitutional amendments, we can nullify you. And really, that's what needs to happen is around this country, people need to stand up and say, enough. We're not going to abide by this. We're not going to enforce this at the local level. Enough. We're done. And see where it goes. See where it goes. It's incredible that we're here. It's incredible that we're here. Now, I want to go next to this Nigerian scam that cost our unemployment program here in Washington State $600 million. I got to tell you something. If there is not a massive pushback by the Republicans on, I mean, they're not even doing much anyway over there right now. But promoting the Washington State Employment Security Department head to be Assistant Secretary at the Employment and Training Administration within the Labor Department. It would put her at the forefront of Biden's coronavirus recovery plan, whatever that even means. Can't make this stuff up. Everybody now is going to get a taste of Washington State, apparently. Incredible. Want to talk about something else on the national front, speaking of the Pretenders administration. This is coming to us from jihadwatch.org. Jihad Watch, a great site if you don't know about it. Biden's new Assistant Secretary of State worked for Islamic terror state that funds Hamas. That's the title of the article. And I want you to hear some of the things here that have been put out. This guy says, quote, now have, and he's speaking, he warned Arabs, quote, now have televisions and they will never forget that Israeli people, the Israeli military, the Israeli democracy have done to the Palestinian children. There will be thousands who will seek to avenge brutal murders of the innocent. This guy is very anti-Semitic. It looks throughout this article that has been laid out. And where do you go from there? Seriously, where does this insanity continue to? You know, 1984 was supposed to remain a book of fiction. And what we're seeing right now is I guess a horror novel. Best way to put it. Also want to talk about something on the national front. Kevin McCarthy is touting Republican unity. And they just reelected Liz Cheney to her leadership position. And I am hearing from everywhere, but most interestingly over in Idaho, that Republicans are now unaffiliating. Now, in Washington, we don't have an official registration for party, but in Idaho, they are unaffiliating in droves right now. And here's why, because things like the Great Reset that we talked about last episode, the World Economic Forum's Great Reset that wants to put vast swaths of people out of work, wants to make sure that there are medical passports, contact tracing as part of everyday life, censorship and deplatforming of voices that oppose their agenda, greatly reducing economic activity through climate change policies, greatly increasing poverty and lost private property rights, introducing a universal basic income, deletion of natural borders. All this stuff comes out of Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto. And so Republican establishment people haven't been fighting against this. They always try to go along to get along. And people have had enough. The Liz Cheneys of the world have, by their not only their inaction, but sometimes with purpose and knowing what they were doing, sold this country down the river. And people have had enough, especially veterans who have fought for this country, a sacrifice for this country in ways that people don't even understand or know. People just had enough. And so the great reset is communism, and you would expect so-called Republicans to stand up and say, hey, wait, we shouldn't do that. Instead, I was reminded of an article back in 2008. This is an incredible article. U.S. News, and I have seen a lot of articles out there that really are doublespeak, but this one is pretty incredible. U.S. News had an article, quote, Jezebel was a killer and a prostitute, but she had her good side. Now, this was back in 2008. Essentially, they were setting up Harris, I guess. I don't know. But the idea was that she actually had some good qualities because she fought against the patriarchal system. Look, they're calling evil good and good evil. That's what's happening. It's exactly what's happening. And so for all of us, we need to be sure that we understand the times we're living in and what to do about it. And what to do about it is to fight back. Get as secure as you can. Understand that they are searching everything. Fact, Technocracy News, this going back a little bit to the National Front, IMF calls for internet search history to be linked to credit score. They want to do a social credit evaluation. That's essentially what the FBI did in Washington, D.C. by checking out people's social media accounts in the National Guard. This is an incredible thing. This is real. You can read about it. There are primary sources after primary sources after primary sources. But you have some interesting things that have been happening. And people fighting back at the local level. And that's, I guess, my point today is we need to fight back at the local level. A Peruvian court ruled Bill Gates and George Soros criminally liable for creating the pandemic. That's interesting. This is coming to us from WorldNet Daily. Beijing now has reached out to the pretender and said essentially, and this is the title right now, there's a red line regarding Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Uyghurs. And Joe Biden needs to abide by it. I found it fascinating that the Chinese feel emboldened to say things like this. U.S. leadership needs to, quote, strictly abide by the one China principle, end quote. Quote, any trespassing would end up undermining China-U.S. relations and the United States' own interests. We in China hope that the United States side will fully understand the sensitivity of the issues and handle them with prudence so as to avoid disruption or damage to mutual trust and cooperation. Trump would have said, noted. That's what he would have done. And now, with the pretender there, they are racing to weaken the United States to such a point that we can't fight back? Is that really where they're going? So, again, at the local level, that's where we need to be organizing. That's where we need to be pushing back, saying we're not going to comply with unconstitutional edicts. That's where the sheriffs need to step in and do the right thing. And not just do the right thing by saying, oh, I'm not going to enforce it. The question is never, will the sheriff not or not enforce it, but will the sheriff let any government bureaucrats come in to enforce it? That's the question that our sheriffs need to be asked. You got great sheriff up in North Idaho, Darrell Wheeler, who understands this. Maybe that's why a lot of people are moving up there. Now, I want to end with a kind of regional, but not really. It's a little bit outside the region. But an Illinois high school senior is set to face a disciplinary hearing after she refused to participate in the school's student gender and sexuality program and requested a religious accommodation exempting her from the class. Now, the school is bound by law, but they clearly don't follow it. But they want to now punish this girl for refusing to participate in their perversion. Good on her. I hope she stands strong. We need to hold all of our elected officials accountable to their oaths, to the Constitution. Now, there are some that claim that holding people to their oaths is somehow mean or mean-spirited. But we all took an oath to uphold the Constitution, not to follow leaders, but to uphold the Constitution. And all constitutional laws pursuant thereto. The Supreme Court has correctly ruled on this many times. But right now, what I think is critical is, will the sheriffs prevent government bureaucrats from enforcing unconstitutional edicts at the local level? Will police chiefs refuse to allow government bureaucrats to enforce unconstitutional edicts at the local level? Will county commissioners, will city council, men and women, refuse to do that? Or will they just go along to get along? And that's a question that we need to ask all of our elected officials. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And if you get a chance, you can find me on MeWe, WeSpeak, Gab. Follow me, send me a note. And also remember that Patriot Radio is on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. And so I'm going to start sharing these things across these platforms as it continues to degrade here in the United States of America. All right. It is my distinct pleasure to introduce once again a true patriot and somebody that has been fighting against the man and the system for a very long time, Glenn Morgan of We the Governed. It's always great to have you on Patriot Radio. How are you doing today, my friend?
Matt, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. It's always an honor to be here.
Right on. I love your articles, and one of them that particularly piqued my interest was our lockdown legislature, locked out, locked up, denied access, reducing transparency. A lot of people don't understand what's happening with our legislature this year, that this is the first year ever in the history of Washington State where the legislature is not meeting regularly together face-to-face, that they're actually doing everything remotely via Zoom or whatever other contrived contraption they have. Tell the listeners a little bit about that and what's actually happening with transparency and people's ability to be heard.
So it really is, you're right about it being unique. It's also unique that they've not had a quorum in the legislature except for the very first day of session. And that is probably one of the little, I know Representative Walsh has raised the fact that an enterprising attorney at some future time on any legislation that's passed during this period of time would probably find ways of tossing out a lot of this legislation just simply because of the weird approach that they've had. And to be fair, and I always try to be, The Republicans, to their credit, did vote against the strange law, you know, Zoom session rules that they had in the legislature. They did. It was a party line vote, and the Republicans voted against it, and the Democrats voted in favor of it. Right now, there's more Democrats than Republicans, so rules only require a majority, and that's the rules that they're proceeding on right now. And effectively, what that does to reduce transparency is that mostly it affects the citizens' ability to testify more than anything else. And the fact that, especially during committee hearings, when normally the practice has been for the last 120 years, people would show up, actually longer than that, people would show up at these committee hearings, and the legislators who are on the committee could get a pretty good sense of citizen concern about different issues. Think of the hairdressers from a couple years ago that when they flooded the legislature at the time, it wasn't just the people who were able to get through to the testimony, because not all of them could testify, but it was the 1,500 people hanging out in the lobby and the room and on the steps. It definitely sent a message, and the legislature rejected that poorly thought-out bill at the time. This time, all you can really do is allow, you know, it'll be the committee chair, and I'm really thinking of Sam Hunt in the Senate just at some recent hearings, where he allows people to come on, just limited people to come on and speak, and then he auto shuts them off, right? They get cut off before they could even say their statement. And that heavy finger on the mute button has really reduced the ability of citizens to testify in any meaningful way on this legislation. And it's really just made it a defective process from the beginning. And right now, people in Washington state are signing in record numbers, all-time record numbers for these committee hearings. Some of the gun legislation and the Open Up Washington State piece that was considered in the Senate, you had thousands and thousands of people that signed up. And that's unusual. I mean, on that front, a lot of people are signing in officially opposed to legislation. But what you're not having anymore is this real effective testimony that we've been able to have when we're in person, and the fact that these legislators, whatever office or offsite location that they might be broadcasting from, you can see by the way they're saying or reading script that somebody's holding the script over their keyboard or something, so they're reading from it, and you don't know who's in the room with them, you don't know who's influencing them, you don't know what lobbyist or special interest person is there having an impact on what they're saying. And that's another part that we're really missing. And all of this just cumulatively adds up to a very questionable kind of slipshod operation in Olympia on how this legislation's proceeding and being considered. And it's unique in state history, and it is unique in the lack of access and transparency that we've had in the state legislature this cycle. And, you know, neither of those bode well for an effective, representative government.
What I find very startling is that there are a lot of pushes against free speech right now. And you see this happening all over the place. These two guys that were doing a rally 2 days before January 6th were arrested for attempting to overthrow the government, right? They were doing a rally. I mean, they're really – this is chilling free speech. It's chilling free assembly. And they're also doing that in Olympia. So if you could, tell the listeners a little bit about your experience in that regard.
Well, and what it's and that is, of course, pushing towards the Saturday, February 6th, we're having a free speech, commit an act of free speech, and maybe get arrested in Olympia that's coming up. And the reason why I've organized that or been the main person organizing it has been that over the last few weeks since January, when they put the fence up around the Capitol and really were denying access to the Capitol campus, they also went this extra mile. I was at a January 10th event that was a Reopen Washington event there, and they were threatening citation and arrest for people who brought in a speaker and microphones, claiming that was a violation of their WAC rules against camping on campus. That's essentially the WAC they were quoting from. And at first I just thought, well, it was just an overreach one time, you know, an overzealous, nervous Nelly in the Enterprise Services Department. But when they did it again a few days later to Doug Bassler, who was going to do a broadcast there with Marty McClendon, and then they did it again to the pro-life group last week. That was kind of the bridge too far for me. I looked at the videos of what the state patrolman was saying and what the enterprise services person was saying. And so we have contacted them and said that we plan to overtly and willfully violate their obscure and totally unsubstantiated rule against having speakers and a microphone and therefore being heard on campus, and that we're planning to go commit an act of free speech, an act of free assembly, an act of petitioning for redress of grievances to our government, and an act of religion by praying at that same event so we can check off all four boxes of the First Amendment. And if they choose to arrest us or cite us for committing that act of free speech, they're certainly free to do so. And I've given them fair notice that that's what we're going to go do. And, you know, I'm just, either they've been bluffing and lying all along, or, you know, or they're actually going to go through with that threat. So we'll see. And, you know, they'll tell you that they support free speech, but what they, but then they'll make up these arbitrary and capricious and kind of random rules that say you can't have a speaker and a microphone, even though since electricity has been invented, that's been a fairly typical activity that the Supreme Court has upheld as something that they can't prevent you from having at a rally or a free speech event. And they know the court cases. I've sent it all to them, so have my attorneys. And so I'm quite curious to see how that goes. I mean, either they decide they're going to arrest us for committing an act of free speech, or they're going to wake up and realize that they've been in the wrong, and it's been a wrong substantially out of line, and they'll let us proceed. And either way, this Saturday is going to tell us a lot about how they're going to operate.
What's fascinating is some of them have been surveyed. I'm not going to say what law enforcement department. Some of them have been surveyed and asked the question, if you were ordered to do something that was clearly unconstitutional, that you knew was unconstitutional, there was no question about it, would you follow that order? And they would generally say yes, they would follow it, even though the Nuremberg trials actually said no, you're held to an individual moral standard, no matter what everybody else around you is doing. And an order is an order is not an excuse. And so it's right. Fascinating this is coming back in this time, that they believe they can essentially shut the citizens out of the Capitol, impose what is clearly unconstitutional by taking away amplified speech.
Right.
You know, where do you go from there, other than, like, if you get arrested, what happens next?
Well, I guess we have good times in federal court. I mean, literally attorneys are salivating at the opportunity to have an almost perfect free speech case against the state. So, to be honest, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, either they're stupid enough to actually go through with their threats. I have asked, you know, and listen, this is no secret. I emailed them my article outlining exactly what we plan to do, when we plan to do it, and where we're going to be. And I've contacted the Enterprise Services, made sure the State Patrol knows, made sure they've also received letters from our attorneys. And I'm not, you know, trying to be secret about this. I spoke to them, and I'm doing a conference call tomorrow about it, actually, just with them, making sure that. And I've asked that they get somebody from the AG's office on, and prefer that they actually verify they actually have a law degree, because I can't believe anybody who actually has a law degree and is marginally literate, which there's at least a few of those people in the AG's office, would actually withstand even the basic surface level scrutiny of the threats that have been made on camera against people who are participating in free speech lately. And what I'm hoping happens is that they recognize reality and, you know, 104 years of tradition in this state, and back off of obviously an absurd and ridiculous overreach on their part, and that this begins that process of them recognizing where those boundaries really are. So, but we'll see. I mean, Saturday is their depend. Obviously, we're going with the willingness to be arrested. Not everybody, but, and they would probably only arrest me and maybe some other people that speak with me, but, or whoever would try to prevent them from seizing the microphones or something. But we'll see. I mean, and then, of course, the overhanging all of this is the likelihood that, you know, Antifa or BLM or somebody is going to decide to try to use this as cover for some kind of violent activity on their own part, because after all, those guys are seizing the hotels and, you know, nearby. And so maybe they'll decide this is how they want to spend a Saturday, too. But we don't know what's going to happen with them. And that's obviously something you can't control. But, you know, the other requirement that is clearly laid out in federal constitutional cases, numerous ones, is that the law enforcement actually has not only should they not arrest us and prevent us from doing this, but they also have an obligation to protect us from the crazies who are attempting to use a heckler's veto by threat of violence to prevent us from speaking. And this is as pure a speech situation as you can have. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. We'll see what actually happens on Saturday.
Now, recently here it was reported, and there was actually a news blackout on most of this, but that Antifa occupied the Red Lion Hotel in Olympia with hatchets in some sort of a protest against the treatment of the homeless or something, and that they should have hotel rooms or whatever. Tell listeners a little bit about what you know about that.
Well, there were about 50 of them that went in and apparently assaulted some of the employees who worked there, certainly threatened them, and surrounded the hotel at key locations to keep a lookout. And in fact, it was a massive SWAT team call out on that one. And to their, they did eventually go in after the officers who responded had enough overtime pay. And then they went in and finally arrested seven of the people who had come in and threatened overt open violence with weapons. I mean, this is the kind of thing that there's no comparison between what we're having, you know, what we're really experiencing here. We're on one side, you know, I'm getting banned from Facebook, or, you know, they're preventing me from or threatening to arrest us for going at the pro-life group from going up and speaking on campus if they use a microphone. And then, you know, these other guys who actually do commit violence, active and overt violence that would be defined as violence by anybody. Even the Olympia City Council, which is not filled with anyone salvageable on the freedom side of the equation, even they recognized how vicious and violent that was. In fact, they were trying to say, "Hey, we're on your side. Don't come and do this in our city. We're already giving away all the taxpayer dollars to homeless people." But you know, it's just the absurd result of some of this behavior is hard to deny, and it's not a parody. It's actually what's happening. So, you know, in an effort to restore sanity, sometimes we have to come up there and expose what it is. I just put a video up on my channel called How to Turn a State Blue One Tarp at a Time, based on the model that that the Democrat Party seems to be advocating for, you know, throughout the state.
So to some of the law enforcement officers that listen to Patriot Radio right now, I want to go through some of the law on this and educate them on what the Constitution actually says. We're going to actually start with the state constitution, Article 1, Section 4, the right of petition of the people peaceably to assemble. Now, peaceably, not Antifa, not BLM riots, peaceably to assemble for the common good shall never be abridged. And never means never. And then Article 1,
and
Section 5.
There's no exception there for pandemic or because the governor feels bad or he's scared. There's no exception. Never.
Never. It's so simple, and yet why are we still having this argument? Article 1, Section 5, every person may freely speak, write, and publish on all subjects, being responsible for the abuse of that right. And the courts have – and you list all these in your article, which is incredible. The courts have ruled on this many times, that amplified speech, in other words, through a PA system or a bullhorn, that is more than legitimate. You have a right to be heard loud enough by everybody around. You have the right to be protected by law enforcement. Go through some of these things so that we can educate on what has already been established as constitutional in the United States.
Right, and I want to emphasize the reason, and this is very clearly laid out in my article at WeTheGovern.com. You can see it there. It's the first article up, I think, right now. I've got some more on publishing, so depending on when your listeners go there, there might be some others there. But you can see it says, let's go to Olympia, commit an act of free speech, and maybe get arrested. But I list out all of those court cases there, and I think there's 10 or 11. I obviously had a lot more to choose from, but I went through a number of them. And it is very clear, without a doubt, that many times there's been attempts by government over the years in this country to find ways around free speech. This isn't actually anything super unique. It's just we haven't seen it in our state any time in the last 140 years, but it was common in the South sometimes, or they use this as a way to suppress civil rights movements. And so many of these cases actually come out of some of those activities or even union activities, and they clearly demonstrate that when you're out there doing something like this with an amplified microphone or a speaker, that you have every right to do that. They can restrict things like, you know, decibel level after midnight. You know, I mean, there's some things that they did allow local jurisdictions to do. But what we're planning on doing, what everybody who's been threatened with arrest or citation lately has done, is clearly, unambiguously, without a doubt, even the poor choice of employees who seem to get hired at the AG's office, even those people are functionally able to read the English language and understand what these mean. And, you know, and I'm going to emphasize, too, I'm bringing Bob Ferguson into this because in the video confrontations, particularly that Doug Bassler had, with the State Patrol, and the State Patrol were being very polite, but they were saying that these rules have been looked at by the Attorney General's office, and therefore, that means that Bob Ferguson has explicitly endorsed this, and I, I want to point out that based on federal law, that if they do arrest me and anybody else for peaceably assembling and committing an act of free speech, it's so clear that under federal law that they're also individually subject to prosecution, everybody in the chain of command saying that that's a good idea. And
that's a super important point. If I can just interject very quickly on that point,
it's called
acting in an ultra vires manner outside the scope of your authority. And it is clear. I don't think a lot of these guys understand that they will be held individually liable if they say that this is a good idea and they go along with it. I don't think that they know that. They're just, oh, go do your job, be quiet, go do your job. And it's got to be more than that. In America, we are taught, and we should be taught from a very young age, to question on an individual basis what we're being told, to go do the research and back it up, and to question if somebody is giving us an unlawful order. We actually used to teach that in the military as part of our training before going overseas. We taught just war theory, and we also taught about when was it okay to say that's an unlawful order, I'm not going to obey that. We actually taught that in the military. I don't even know if they still do that today. Probably not. I don't know. But that's where we're getting to with this.
Right. And they definitely do teach that in law enforcement academies. All of them in Washington State actually have something equivalent that they do teach. And there's also something called discretion and other things, right? And the problem that we're seeing right now is they're only exercising discretion when they're arresting violent people like Antifa and BLM after they break a bunch of windows or burn places down and they just release them on their own recognizance. And so that appears to be, you know, the discretion that they're, let's put these guys back, you know, but and see how many more times they can assault and attack people before we decide to actually, you know, put them in jail or something, or really, really arrest them. But and I think that's we have made that very clear, unambiguously crystal clear, both in my letter to the office, to the Enterprise Services and to the State Patrol, and our attorneys did as well. And so I just, you know, it's up to them at this point in time. They can't say that they weren't forewarned, they weren't notified, you know, they weren't reeducated. It's been made as clear as possible. I'll have flyers there at the handout that people can hand out as well. This isn't the time to come and have a confrontation with them. I mean, it's really their choice. They get to decide. I'm happy to be arrested for committing an act of free speech, if that's really how they think that this should go down.
Incredible. I want to shift gears a little bit, Glenn Morgan of We the Governed, to... There are a lot of people out there that have lost hope. What can we possibly do in Washington State? And you did a really excellent analysis of the divide in Washington State, conservative versus leftist. And I think it will open a lot of people's eyes to what the reality is and kind of go against that spirit of despair and discouragement. So if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and I think what I did with that article, and what's, I'm going to tell you something funny about that article, is YouTube flagged it as violent content and demonetized it, which I thought was funny. Most of my videos, they didn't do that, but that one they did. It's a very wonkish video, actually, and I outlined precincts, you know, structures, and so that, it was really odd that they did that. But the significance there, one of the most stark things that pops out, and it's probably not totally a new idea, but it's this idea of this rural-urban divide, which is more accurate when you look at it, the voting patterns in Washington State, and how the deep left within Washington is actually confined to some very small areas of the state based on voting patterns. Geographically, it's small, but it's concentrated in population. And what it allowed us to do, really, is just looking at how votes went down in 2020. You know, outside of other problems of the election process, but the way the votes were counted and the way they were counted in 2020 clearly showed that there's these rings of precincts, even under the current voting system, that clearly show that there's areas of the state that can flip. They can decide they're splitting their vote right now. And that indicates to me, and I'm going to tell you that even though for some reason the Republican side doesn't seem to pay as much attention to this, the Democrats absolutely do know this is true, and this is why they're running scared a lot of times lately. I mean, they're doing a lot of things that are clearly showing that they're concerned about losing power. And part of it's that there's a clear trend line, especially in the suburbs, and a lot of these precincts that indicate that there's a lot of people willing, you know, they're coming around and they're starting to oppose the taxes, again, opposed to some of these other, some of the crazier ideas of the left, and that's going to translate into election results that are different than what we've seen recently. It doesn't just happen in a vacuum. It does take time. But what it does do is it allows us to focus in areas that need to be focused on. And what was also interesting about it was it also showed precincts in Eastern Washington. I mean, there's this perception that Eastern Washington is definitely more conservative than Western Washington, and that's true on a macro scale, but not true when you actually look at regions. I mean, Lewis County is more conservative than almost any county in Washington State, and that's a clear Western Washington county. Right. But by any measurement of percentage, they clearly vote more Republican than most of the counties do in Eastern Washington. You also saw concentrations within the precinct levels of college towns, for example, like the impact of Eastern's campus and Whitman, for example, and probably more the staff than the students that support those institutions, and the dramatic difference that the way they vote versus the surrounding communities and the way those people vote. And it's worthwhile to do this and look at it at a granular level, because it presents us with a lot of opportunities in the freedom, liberty side of the equation to focus our energy in areas where people are going to be receptive to the message, or a majority of them will be. And we can actually reach out to them, if we do a better job doing this, to actually change the way the legislature looks in Olympia, to change the way the city councils look. And ultimately, that's going to translate into results at a statewide level.
That's exactly right. This is exactly what it's going to do. And I think, too, it gives hope again. And there's a lot of people that don't want to even vote anymore because of the substantiated voter fraud and election fraud that was shown in this last election. They don't want to vote anymore, but actually this is a lot closer than we think. And it's interesting that I always see that leftists always try to make themselves look bigger than they actually are. Give folks in the last couple minutes that are out there some hope.
So if you feel hopeless and you don't want to vote, or you think that's the direction you're going to go, then you are doing exactly what the left wants you to do. That's actually part of that hopelessness is what they want you to believe. It's a bluff that they have. There's evidence clearly based on what's happening in Washington State, the way that some of the Democrat groups and the lefty groups are acting, that they're concerned. They know there's a pushback coming, and they know they're likely to lose at the election cycle. I mean, the one good thing about what happened in this last election is that it's raised the attention to a level that has never been raised. I mean, 10 years ago, I remember trying to bring up some of these issues about voter integrity, and I've always been focused on that. For the first time now, I have hundreds of people willing to doorbell all of these questionable addresses in the state of Washington. We have good proposals on how to fix and address some of the transparency issues. They aren't total perfect solutions, but what they are is they're working back towards finding that, resolving some of the issues and starting to move it our direction. But it also requires us to reach out and, you know, help show people exactly what the blue utopia is. And it's not hard to see what the left believes their dream for a city is. Just go to downtown Seattle or Olympia or Bellingham or some other place where, yeah, it's turning blue, one blue tarp at a time. And that may be their utopia, but it isn't for most people. And communicating that effectively is really our challenge and our mission right now. And reaching out and making sure that everybody comes to their own point. It's like a story of salvation. Somebody comes down that road and they have their Damascus moment. It may seem different for everybody, but we need to give people that opportunity so they can change their mind and come join us where the freedom and liberty really matters.
Amen. So in the last minute, can you tell people where they can go to find out more information, read some of your articles, and get involved?
Absolutely. If you go to wethegovern.com, I do encourage you to subscribe. It doesn't cost you anything. It just means that you get emails from my website when I post new articles or videos up. And please sign up there because, again, I think Facebook will eventually totally ban me from Facebook. So if you're looking at me on social media, sometimes those platforms will eventually go away. So the website stays, and the YouTube channel for now stays as well. So go to wethegovern.com to see what's going on there. And also go to YouTube, look for We The Governed, and become a subscriber. That does help improve the visibility of the videos. And the more people that see these stories, I think the more people we can change the direction that our state's going in right now.
Amen. Glenn Morgan, We The Governed, thanks so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Keep up the fight. And I want to have you on after you go to Olympia and hear from the horse's mouth, as it were, what actually happened on the ground there. So stay safe and keep up the fight.
All right. Thank you. If I'm not in prison, I'll be happy to chat.
And I will let everybody know if you are, okay?
All right. That sounds. There'll be letters from the Thurston County Jail.
All right. Glenn Morgan, We The Governed, check out his articles. I'm going to be posting a couple of those up online right now, but he's going to go commit an act of free speech. Shocking. Stunning. in Olympia, Washington. Apparently, some people don't know what the Constitution actually says. And so Glenn is going there to do the right thing. He's going there to see justice done in America. And it's kind of incredible that we're at that point in our lives. But we are right now. We are right now. And it's incumbent upon everybody listening to this show, don't just hear the show. Go out and act. Go out and do something about this. Ask your elected officials the right questions. Go out and join some of the rallies that are protesting. And you always have to be careful with that because the Antifa types want to infiltrate that and create problems. But we still have a right of free speech and a right of free assemblage. And if they're shutting all that down, even as, and especially with the legislature in session where we can't testify against bills in the same way that we used to, do we really have a republic anymore? Free speech is the foundation stone. The Second Amendment is there to defend the First, and all the other ones for that matter. But free speech, the ability to say things that people do not want to hear, as Orwell said. The ability to say things that challenge the status quo. The ability to say things and speak truth to power like the GOP establishment sitting quivering in the corner. The ability to confront the Marxists. All of those things the Founding Fathers understood all those many years ago. They understood that we had to have that protection in the Constitution of that right given to us by God, and that no man could ever take that away, no matter how much they gin up excuses, that it was a right enshrined for eternity. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. May He truly make this one the greatest generation. And please, all of you, keep up the fight.